This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, our podcast will be uploaded moments after the show. Just moments after the show. That sounded weird. The Periscope right now is streaming live on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. It is on the Periscope, in case you want to go check out what the video version of the show. We also have fanradio.com you can go to check out the latest news and stories about Tennessee football, basketball, and baseball. And last but not least, go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app. It is free to download, Apple Store, Google Store, whatever you want to do. You can take the show, take the station, wherever you're headed, each and every day throughout the day. And it's free. What more could you ask for? So go ahead and check out all those things. But hey, of course, you already knew all that. Gentlemen, we got hour number one in the books. Hour number two on deck as I try to get my words together here at the top of the second hour. We ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We got a ton of stuff to get into here in this second hour, and really we're just going to bounce all over the place. I got great, interesting stories. They don't necessarily match up and go one by one or don't necessarily have a great segue between, but hey, it's kind of the way we roll. So we just got interesting stories for you up ahead. The first one on the menu today, I want to know a little bit more about this Titans fourth round pick, Rashad Weaver. Obviously a little bit of an interesting developing story, as the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has reported a couple days ago that Titans fourth round pick Weaver has been charged with simple assault in Pittsburgh. The Post-Gazette article says this below, quote, "According to the criminal report, police officers found a woman lying on the ground surrounded by a group of people at 2:28 a.m. April 18th, South 17th Street between East Carson and Bingham Streets. Those at the scene said a large man, later identified as Mr. Weaver, punched the woman. Mr. Weaver was not at the scene when officers arrived. The woman victim was checked by a medic and released." Now, there's a couple more kind of odd and I don't want to say maybe a little bit confusing right now because I think so much of it was unconfirmed, but there were just some odd situations as she was later diagnosed with a concussion later on the scene. But I believe according to the officer that was on scene, didn't have any kind of maybe significant injuries or anything like that. So I think the Titans are trying to kind of figure this out. But the point of the story is that it happened on April 18th. The draft was just about a week ago and certainly past April 18th. Charlie, were you surprised by this story or were the Titans surprised by this story?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of reacted live yesterday on Talk Sports. I mean, when this came to light. But it's just embarrassing. It's a terrible, terrible look for the Tennessee Titans. And it's a clear indication that someone, if not multiple people, need to be fired. I mean, it's inexcusable for you not to have this information. It seems like these days scouting in the NFL is getting absurd intel about players. I mean, you know, you could go ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, hey, what was Kyle Trask's favorite food in third grade? Oh, well, the most common thing he ordered at school lunch was the tater tots. And like, but we can't figure out that a dude punched a pregnant woman in a bar weeks before the draft? No, we can't figure that out? A year after that, you couldn't figure out anything about Isaiah Wilson. There is a very, very clear and disturbing issue in the Titans scouting department. It's inexcusable. Heads need to roll. You can't just afford to continue to mess things up like this in the draft. Not when you're trying to take the next step from, you know, a perennial playoff team to a perennial AFC championship and Super Bowl contender. You can't. If someone's not fired soon, you know, I'm going to be livid. I already am livid. You can tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, how do you not know about this?
Furthermore, Paul Kaharsky reported that there were teams that did know about it.
Man. Yeah, and this is an incredibly fascinating story. And Charlie, I think you just hit the nail on the head. And no, we don't obviously bring this up to, you know, to talk about the Titans in any kind of ill way, but just to talk about like what Charlie had alluded to, a very dysfunctional situation. And, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around it. You know that, yes, there are guys whose dedicated jobs is to find these things out and is to vet these situations. And even if maybe it's a completely different situation, if you knew about it and kind of vetted it, and yeah, you still got to go through some of the proceedings, but at least you knew about it, right? And maybe on your own hand, you feel all right about what's going to happen as long as you kind of did your own little investigation, did the research. But for them to come out and say on Monday morning, on the Monday after the draft, and say, we just found out about this, like you guys have said, that's inexcusable. That's unfathomable. How, again, you just don't even at least have a hint, or you can't at least say on Monday morning, hey, yes, this is now out to the public, but we at least have known about this. We've at least done a little bit of investigation on our own, and we feel as though we can navigate through this without any big hiccups.
If we would have known, we wouldn't have drafted him, too. That's the other thing.
Sure.
You know, I guess to play the other side of things, the Titans side of things, it was reported that only three teams knew. So there were,
there's a lot of people trying to hide the story.
There were 29 other teams that were not aware in the same boat as the Titans. There were just three teams that knew about this incident. I don't understand how 29 teams didn't know. That doesn't feel accurate to me. I think maybe some teams lied about not knowing. But it's reported only three teams knew. And when you get into these later rounds, I mean, he was a fourth-round pick,
yeah.
I believe.
Yes.
You don't have the same vetting process as you do.
Sure.
Because it's too unpredictable to know who's even going to be there on your board in the first place. You don't have time to vet, you know, hundreds and hundreds of players down to, you know, every small detail. So I guess I could get how that could slip through the cracks if he wasn't, you know, one of your top targets. Because he slid down the draft board. He was a guy that was supposed to be drafted higher. So I could see this as a case of the Titans, you know, didn't really have him on their radar as much as other guys, but then they saw that he was sliding and they just drafted him at a position of need without really having spent much time in the pre-draft process with him.
Yeah, and you know, I'll even kind of go back. I had just kind of, you know, presented maybe a hypothetical route where you could at least say, you know, hey, we knew about this and we at least investigated and felt good about it. Charlie, you came back and said, you know, we wouldn't have even drafted him. And I think that's right. Because as the story has come out, to me, the worst part of the story is, according to, again, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Mr. Weaver, quote, stated to the other officers on scene that he had no problem hitting a female if they needed it. So, again, you take that, and it's like that would be immediate. Don't draft this guy. You're telling that to an officer on the scene? On the scene of all places? I mean, there can't be a worse look for the individual at the moment.
Yeah, it's not very good.
No. So that's just a fascinating story that I thought has been kind of developing. And again, we didn't get to really talk about it on the show yesterday, so I wanted to get some reactions to it here today. But man, just wild. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that story and update things as it goes. But real quick, I guess, kind of staying in the NFL, have you guys seen this graphic that's been going around, Brandon, about the star players? And well, they're recruiting star rankings for players who entered the draft.
I have not.
So I will send this your way right now. Because I saw yesterday, and I don't know how much it's been maybe circulating around Twitter, but I think it was circulating enough to where I definitely wanted to bring it up on the show. Because I find it very fascinating, and frankly, I kind of find it misleading. A misconception. So, Brent, go ahead and tell me what we're looking at here.
All right, 2021 NFL Draft by Recruiting Stars. 20 players, what is this? Is this the whole draft?
Yes.
Is this the first?
This is the whole draft.
Okay. 20 players were 5 stars. 90 players were 4 stars. 112 players were 3 stars, 22 players were 2 stars, and 15 players were not ranked.
Thank you for doing this, by the way, Rick. I know where you're going with this.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. So I saw this going around yesterday, and I immediately took a look at it, and like probably everybody who just heard that for the first time, you're thinking to yourself, all right, something weird's going on here. 20 players, 5-star, 94, 112, 3. And yes, there is a sense of, at the very core, this is still just kind of a motivational thing, right? Hey, you don't have to be a 5-star. 112 guys were given the 3-star in high school. They still made it to the NFL. Great motivational. But when you want to bring it up in kind of a statistical, analytical debate, these numbers are completely skewed and they should not be used in the slightest. And that's where I think a little bit of the misconception comes in that we can clear up. Because, Brandon, if you really think about it, and I know you don't have the exact numbers here, but wouldn't you say that there are more than a few more 3 stars than there are 5 stars each year going into collegiate football?
More that there are more 3 stars in college football?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, they don't hand out 5 stars to everybody. I think even some of the sites only do, like, 32 5-stars because they said, like, that's how many first-round draft picks.
So when you really look at these numbers, like Brandon's alluding to right there, it doesn't stack up exactly like I think this graph is trying to show it as. So somebody went back through this and basically took the 2013 class from 247 Sports Composite and combined that with the 2017 NFL draft. And I believe these numbers are likely still close, but you can imagine, again, the math checks out. In 2013 class, there was only 35 5-stars. 4 years later, 23 5-stars got drafted. Right? And when you go down to the 3-stars, there were 1,700 3-star players in collegiate football. So when you look at 90 of them being drafted, again, when you look at the percentages, it's completely off. 5-star, 65.5%. 4-star, 23%. 3-star, 5%. 2-star, 1.4%. So a little bit of what I think is a misconception with this graphic, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, call anybody out or say that this is a terrible graphic or anything like that, but I do think that, you know, it's still showing that, like, hey, we still need high-ranking players. Like, let's not start buying into a narrative that, you know, hey, we can build a whole great roster that can get 3 stars to the league, and, you know, because there's more opportunities for that. While there are opportunities, it's not the same. Tennessee still has to keep building up talent because, again, when you look at the percentages, then you see how important those 5- and 4-star players are and how those guys typically are the ones that end up in the draft.
Yeah, man, I think it just needs a little bit more information, a little bit
clarity.
More
clarity.
Yeah.
I see what they were doing there, but I just kind of wanted to throw out my 2 cents on it and, you know, obviously – kind of what I thought about it, and what I think is maybe the real message behind it. Although it is kind of a crazy thing, you know, when you're just looking at it for what it is. And yeah, I mean, if you're a 3-star player, of course you got an opportunity. We got to work hard. So, that being said, let's see. All right, here's what I want to do. Let's go ahead and take a break right now. I think we could get this next story in, but let's give it a little bit of time to breathe. Take a break right here. Come back on the other side. On the other side, I want to stay with the NFL for 1 quick minute. Talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay, over there in the AFC South. So a little bit of Titans and Colts ties. Friend of the show, Jordan DeJani, says this former quarterback could be headed to Jacksonville. Could they make a difference? We'll give you the answer on the other side. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 11:18 a.m. Rick, Brand, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you as we are making our way through the second hour of the program today. It's been a great show. It's been a very, very fun show from the jump today. In case you missed anything, can go back to the podcast and listen to it as always. And, hey, we'd still love to talk to you on the phone lines today. In case you have a minute off from school, work, maybe you're just hanging out at home, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, 865-546-8200. Now, this is the unfortunate part of the show where I feel like we have too many stories for the amount of time left that I would certainly like to get into. So I guess with that being said, I should probably stop rambling and get right into it. So one of the last stories from the NFL side of things we have for today that I thought was a little peculiar. Brandon, there's been a quarterback taking up a lot of the NFL storylines right now. Experienced quarterback, veteran quarterback, been in the league for a while. You know who I'm talking about here?
No.
Number 12, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yes.
See, we don't know where he's going, but take a minute away from him, right? Aaron Rodgers stealing a lot of the headlines right now. Let's go somewhere else. How about Jacksonville? You want to talk about Trevor Lawrence? No, not Trevor Lawrence. A different quarterback. Could he be on
Gardner
the return?
Minshew?
No, not Gardner Minshew.
No.
Brandon, if anything, you're the most familiar with him here. New York Mets own Timothy Tebow.
Go Gator.
Could actually be a possibility to join the Jaguars staff. To join the Jaguars team. My bad. What do you think about that?
I don't care. I'm
not
sick.
Sick
of Tim Tebow.
You haven't even heard of Tim Tebow in 2 years.
Yeah, maybe you have.
How much has he done with the Mets lately?
Nothing.
Well, but has he just not been there or just done nothing?
No, he's just done nothing.
He's retired from baseball. That happened this year. Said he was not coming back.
You know why? Because he did nothing.
Training for football, clearly.
I feel like he did okay for somebody who hadn't played baseball. It was like 10 years. Then he picked back up and did okay.
Yeah, I agree. He did pretty good.
I mean, to go out there, yeah.
Given the circumstances.
Hitting major league pitches. I mean, like, he did okay.
He was just there to bring fans into the minor leagues. He's taking a spot from some kid who probably been working his whole life.
Well, kid should have worked a little bit harder to separate himself.
Yeah.
It's Tim Tebow.
So
nobody cares about Tim Tebow.
Now, you might not care about Tim Tebow, the quarterback, Brandon, but I know you care about Tim Tebow, the tight end, right?
Chance, that's when you play the cricket sound drop.
Apparently, according to Tony Khan, who spoke with it looks like Bleacher Report earlier this week, he says that Tim Tebow has definitely come in and worked out. He said, quote, beyond that, I can't say too much, but Tim has come in and worked out as a tight end. It's not a position that we've seen him play much, but it's a position that he's been practicing with us at. So it'll be interesting to see how he contributes us on offense, too. Obviously, Urban knows Tim well. And Tim has got a great history of winning. Urban really believes that he can help us, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a position where we need to get better.
If Urban Meyer wasn't there, this would not even be a story.
Very true.
That's why he's going to get an opportunity to make the team.
Urban Meyer's just doing weird stuff down in Jacksonville right now.
What else has he done?
I mean, I can't get over drafting Travis Etienne with that 25th pick. When you already had James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, and then to come out after the draft and say he's going to be a great third down back for us, when the biggest knock on him was that he couldn't be a third down back.
I mean, when's the last time Tebow played football?
And that's a good question that I was trying to figure out, too.
When did he play last? When he got cut by the Jets. Didn't he then play for the Patriots for a little bit and get
He was like a Rex Burkhead type.
So he played for the Broncos till 2011, Jets 2012, Patriots 2013, offseason or practice squad member only, and then the Eagles in 2015 as
offseason or practice squad member only.
Hey, and the Eagles, he actually didn't do bad
during the preseason.
I feel like I remember that people thought he was actually going to get the
But he didn't
spot.
Do it good enough to make the team.
Well, I'm saying, there was a lot of controversy that people thought he should have got the third spot. Whether he did or not, I think there was a lot of controversy that people thought that he should have got the third spot because of how he played during the preseason.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care that much for Tebow either, but, like, he's a nice guy. What's he done to you?
I wouldn't go that far to say what's he done to you because he's He's hurt us all.
Oh, yeah. When he was in college. One of the greatest college careers of all time. One of them.
Plus, him being on the Mets is bad for Brandon, too. Because he took the place of actual prospects that could have been developing. People were really upset about that. Like, that was a major controversy in minor league baseball and within the Mets organization.
That's what I just said.
I'm backing you up.
Yeah. Thanks.
He did say that.
Hey. I'm tired of Tim Tebow.
I want to see him back. Why not?
I'm scared to have the combined God power of Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow on the Jags.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Literally.
They would never lose. Like, we're screwed, Brandon. If they unite.
It's counterbalanced by the cruddiness of Urban Meyer. So
that's a great point.
That's why he's bringing him in.
No, I think Trevor and
is
Urban
Trevor highly religious?
Balance out.
Is he? Okay.
But no, Trevor and Urban balance out because Trevor, amazing person. Urban, poop personified.
Sure.
So I guess if you add Tebow, though, then that balance goes back to the side of good. So
it
we
swings.
Also need to add like a Pac-Man Jones, get him out of retirement.
Well, I think the city of Jacksonville itself might account for the villain.
I like Jacksonville.
Do you?
Yeah, no, I honestly do. I've had a good time every time I've been there.
I thought it looked a little run down when I was there. You know, like there were a couple parts of it.
Jacksonville Beach is really nice.
Yeah.
When you go to Jacksonville Beach, there's
but once
some
you
good
go
places.
Downtown, I was like, do people live here still? Like everything's run down.
Honestly, there were some places where I was are there residents or are these just emptiness?
The strip of restaurants leading into the stadium, when I went there for All Elite Wrestling, there was nothing. There was not a single place that we could like have a good burger just before a wrestling show. And I was like, this place stinks.
If these people weren't here to watch Tennessee play Indiana, would anyone be here?
I don't know, but we'll see. So that's a little bit of a good NFL story. And then last but not least, man, Chelsea Juwan James with the Denver Broncos, season-ending injury.
Yeah, bad situation.
Bad situation right there. I believe a torn Achilles. And what's unfortunate for VFL, Juwan James, this is a guy who opted out of the season last year for health reasons and to be with his family and things. And he also missed the whole season before that with another injury. So this is the guy who is now going into his third straight missed season. And the unfortunate thing as well, I'm looking at right here. Let me get the exact quote for you so I don't miss this one. Here we go from Adam Schefter yesterday at 5 o'clock. Broncos offensive tackle Juwan James suffered a season-ending torn Achilles working out today away from the team facility. James's $10 million salary for the upcoming season now is in jeopardy after being that Denver no longer is obligated to pay him with him working out off-site. Man, what a crappy situation.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Like that, oh my God. I mean, you're just a guy that's trying to get better on its own.
It sucks. But I mean, if I'm Denver, like I'm not going to pay him. It's the NFLPA that it just has not done a very good job negotiating the language within their contracts.
I guess you're right.
Because like, if I worked at Kroger and, you know, say I fell down the steps and broke my ankle, they're not obligated to pay me. Yeah, because I wouldn't, if I couldn't do my job there, like they would no longer have to pay me. And it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing here.
But they might have to give you workman's comp.
But you could argue that, well, if it occurred off the job.
I thought you said if I was working at
Kroger. Oh, no. I said if I was working at Kroger, but like at home, I like fell down the steps and like broke my ankle.
Then you were working there and fell. Gotcha.
Oh, no. But like at the same time, you could argue that working out away from the facility is an extension of your job, because if you're not doing that, then you're physically unfit to perform.
What other
and they would have the company itself, the organization, the Denver Broncos, has the expectations contractually for you to be in a certain physical condition, and in order for that to be met, you would be expected to work offsite. So I mean, I'm sure a lawyer could, you know, go along of the lines that I just stated there, and obviously make a really good professional lawyer argument, and you could potentially get some money, but. It's not the Broncos' fault. It's not Juwan's fault. It's not the agent's fault. It's the NFLPA.
I think you're right. You know, what other work opportunity do you basically, you're so required to be evolving your body, evolving your game so much that, you know, if you're not doing things on your own, if you're not doing things away from the team facility, you might be getting a little bit behind and you're now losing a spot, right? So the NFL has bred a culture, and this is just sports in general, but sports in general has bred a culture where you are always, A, in competition, B, trying to gain a spot, or C, trying not to lose your spot. So for a guy to now go out and just do his own workouts off the facility, and now him basically have to miss a third straight season, which, okay, I understand that the second one was his choice, but let's be honest, it was his choice in the middle of a unforeseen pandemic for health reasons. It's hard to blame a guy for that. But this just stinks, man, and I don't, like Charlie's saying, and man, you just kind of convinced me there and sold me there. It's not Denver's fault. I guess, you know, they got to do what they got to do, and $10 million is a lot to work with that you can reallocate somewhere else. But, dude, that blows. Like, that really sucks for VFL Juwan James and for anybody else, you know, who would have this situation or who has had this situation. Got to figure that one out.
Yeah, like Charlie said, I mean, it's kind of on the Players Association.
Yeah, no doubt. So a little bit of football news here towards the beginning of the show, but guys, we still got a couple of sports segments left. Let's go ahead and just push those. Let's push them all the way back to the final segment. We'll make sure to hit them a little bit during if you haven't heard, or we'll just save them for tomorrow because hey, it's our show. We can do what we want. Coming up next, let's talk about it. I know we're all going to be celebrating it tonight. Might have a couple cervezas.
One of these.
Said it over there?
Got a history lesson coming up next.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, sir. History lesson on the Blitz next.
We're no strangers to love. 11:32, back on the Blitz. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, baby.
Or as they say in English, the 5th of May.
I actually like Cinco de Mayo a lot. Today, shout out to, on my father's side, it's the twins' birthday, my twin uncles, their birthday.
Happy birthday, twin uncles! Yeah.
Everett and Eric. Uncle Everett, Uncle Eric in Chicago.
We love you both.
Actually, I think they all went to Vegas, though.
Yeah, very this week. Cool.
Oh,
yeah.
What if they run into John Reed?
They might. They won't know him, but they might.
I hope the three of them meet and become best friends.
Yeah. Well, my Uncle Greg, he recently moved out to Las Vegas probably about 3 years ago. He's that's his retirement spot now, so they all went out there. So, yeah, shout out to my Uncle Everett and Uncle Eric. Happy birthday to the twins.
Hey, shout out to the twins.
All right, so Cinco de Mayo.
Let's get it.
Obviously, we got the history here. We always do a history on big days.
Cinco de Drinko, as some say.
That's the Blitz thing. Cinco de Mayo, or the 5th of May, as we say here in the States, is a holiday that celebrates the date of the Mexican Army's May 5th, 1862 victory over France at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War.
Nice.
The day falls. It's also known as the Battle of Puebla Day. It's a relatively minor holiday in Mexico, as you guys said earlier. But in the United States, we definitely cultural appropriate, and we go all out.
Oh, yeah.
It's become a commemoration of Mexican culture, heritage, and particularly in areas with large Mexican-American populations. This all comes from history.com. It is not to be confused, as Brandon said earlier, with Mexican Independence Day, a popular misconception.
Oh.
Instead, it commemorates a single battle. 1861, it was Benito Juarez.
So,
Benito.
Twitter, don't check Twitter for your news. The 11th trending topic on Twitter is Mexican Independence Day, subtitled.
But I think it's all people saying that it's not, that's not what Cinco de Mayo is, right?
Oh.
When you click
it. But even when you look at the subtitle, it says, you know, on Twitter posted it, Mexican Independence Day is celebrated on the 16th of September.
Mm-hmm.
I should have read a little bit more. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So, as Benito Juarez, lawyer and member of the indigenous Zapotec tribe, was elected president of Mexico, the time the country was in financial ruin after years of internal strife and the new president was forced to default on debt payments to European governments. In response, France, Britain, and Spain sent naval forces to Veracruz, Mexico, demanding repayment.
Where's my money?
Where my money at?
Straight cash, homie.
France, however, ruled by Napoleon III at the time.
Oh, Napoleon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Napoleon actually short?
No.
Is that what
he was? Not actually short, by the way. That is a common misconception.
Oh, we got to find this out.
Are we sure? I saw a video on this one day. He was not actually short. He was like a pretty average height compared to the average height that day. And it was like more of a
Napoleon III.
It was misinformation spread to bring him down.
Wait, there's different Napoleons.
First of all, it's a completely different Napoleon.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not Napoleon Bonaparte.
Bonaparte's is the one.
That's the one we're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I just know.
I don't know. Okay. Napoleon III, he rolled up in Mexico in 1861. Well-armed French fleet stormed Veracruz.
Yeah.
Stormed them. Drove the President of Juarez and his government into retreat.
Get.
But then it was the Battle of Puebla. That's where the success would come.
Yeah.
6,000 French troops set out to attack Puebla. But not today.
Not today.
Not today, said Juarez.
No, no, no.
He rounded up a ragtag force of 2,000, and it says right here, loyal men.
You know what? I imagine these 2,000 men, they had a parlay with the other 6,000, right? And you had the two armies, they're standing face to face. And then one guy, one lone comrade, a courageous comrade, he steps out from the men of 2,000.
I believe they call them amigos.
Amigos. And he whips out from his back pocket.
Comrade's Russian.
A yellow
Very true by you.
Stick. And upon further inspection, it is a Ticonderoga number 2. And he says, not so fast. Yep. And then the armies
Not
charge.
So fast, Napoleon.
Yeah.
So from his new headquarters in the north, Juarez rounded up his ragtag force of 2,000 loyal men, many of them either indigenous Mexicans or of mixed ancestry, and sent them to Puebla. The vastly outnumbered and poorly supplied Mexicans, led by Texas-born General Ignacio Zaragoza.
Yeah.
Fortified the town and prepared for the French assault. And on May 5th, 1862,
oh, wow.
Lawrence.
I feel like I'm in
that
it right
was
now.
A lot more recent than I realized.
He gathered his army, supported by heavy artillery before the city of Puebla, and led an assault.
Wow. I feel like I'm really invested right now. The storytelling is
through the roof. I
see a movie
in my brain.
Very good storytelling.
Very good.
The battle lasted from daybreak to early evening, boys.
Oh, my God.
And when the French finally retreated, because they did.
Yeah, buddy.
They lost nearly 500 soldiers.
Get out.
And guess
Dead
what?
French.
Fewer than 100 Mexicans had been killed in the clash because they would not go. Another major strategic win in the overall war against the French. Zaragoza's success at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th represented a great symbolic victory for the Mexican government and bolstered the resistance movement.
He gave him one of these, a good 1-2.
One of these.
1-2.
And in 1867, thanks in part to military support and political pressure from the big boys, the United States, which was finally in a position to aid its besieged neighbor after the end of the Civil War, France finally withdrew. That's right. They withdrew. And Juarez will live on forever.
Wow.
In Mexican lore.
So this is why we drink our cervezas tonight.
Mm-hmm. Because of General Juarez.
Cheers.
I would like to petition personally to not only celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but just go back and locate in the course of history any time the French lost a mid-sized to major battle and just celebrate that day as well.
Well, I don't think you'll have to convince Americans to take any extra holiday where they can spend it drinking.
Now that I know that it was because they beat the French, I am much more sold on Cinco de Mayo and celebrating it.
You like it now, huh? Now you love it.
Yeah, all that. I mean, I always liked it. But
Brandon, what's your big takeaway from this Cinco de Mayo story? What's the fascinating angle to you? Or are you still like me and you're just stuck up on the whole Napoleon height still?
2,000 Mexicans.
It's the wrong Napoleon.
I know, but now
they're all the same Napoleon. They're all just French people.
I'm over on
Napoleon.
Bonaparte now. I've switched. I'm over on Bonaparte. But that's where I am. I'm seeing where you are.
Is he not short?
5'6".
No, that's pretty short.
So, like in Bill and Ted, right? Like compared to Bill and Ted's heights, yeah, like it made sense that he was short in the movie. I don't know if it came back in the second movie. I only saw the first one.
Well, now that you got your history lessons, now let's crank it.
Oh, okay. Rank. All right. Now we have a little bit of fun with Cinco de Mayo. Now what you do on Cinco de Mayo is you often go to a restaurant. You often go to one of your favorite Mexican restaurants and you get some food, you get some drinks. you do the whole thing. So, let's
go through a couple things.
Bounce out some questions.
All right, so
what you got?
Rank that. Tacos, soft versus hard shell.
Soft.
Okay, hard. That's all.
Soft. Yeah.
Hard
soft,
all the way.
But I like to maybe crunch up some tortilla chips and put them in so you still get a little bit of crunch, but with
I
the soft taco.
I also enjoy the soft taco, but I'm with Charlie every now and again. I want to crunch.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
I need crunch in my chips.
But also, I like a good soft taco,
hey,
man. I like the little small street tacos.
Chips.
Oh, yeah, put a little chips in there.
Yeah, man.
But every now and again, I might need a little
if
crunch.
If you crumble chips and put them in your tacos, though, sometimes you get the little pointy pieces that stab your gums.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta
no,
be
a, he ain't lying.
No,
he ain't
lying. You got to be a man.
That'll put you down, too.
Yeah, it will.
Like, oh, what just happened?
Like, sometimes you get lodged in there, and you got to, like, try to pull it out. It's like between your...
You,
you
want
like
to cry
it's
sometimes.
It's like a splinter.
That's why you go soft talking.
All right, next up.
Great point.
Burritos.
Okay, what's this one?
Burritos versus quesadillas.
Oh, I'm a quesadilla man. I have never been to a Mexican restaurant in years and not had the quesadilla first before I have anything else. I live, eat, and breathe quesadillas. So that's my pick.
Burrito. Love the burrito.
I also love the quesadilla.
Yeah.
I do love a good quesadilla, man.
More, I know you can put more in the burrito, but the quesadilla is just so
but off
the grill, flattened, and you got the cheese dripping out. Oh,
there needs
so
to be real appreciation for the burrito, though, because the burrito is one of the best on the goes.
I think
on
that
the go.
Burritos are terrible. I hate burritos.
What if you spill the burrito?
Man. Oh, man. I don't know
it's
about terrible.
It's just a tortilla and rice and, like, chicken.
I don't
some
think
other stuff.
They're so great to eat on the go. Wrap in the wrapper. You can eat it while you're
driving.
The only
kind of burritos I like are breakfast burritos.
Do you like quesadillas?
But I think quesadillas are the best Mexican food.
So
that
just don't put any
go-to.
Veggies in the burrito and you have a quesadilla,
no, no, no.
But it's
the
fat.
The entire reason I don't like burritos is because I like any Mexican food I like to have like cooked already, like seared or grilled or something, so it gets like the texture right.
They press the burritos.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Like, I like, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Tomato, tomato. Taste their own.
All right, next
all right,
up.
What else?
Salsa versus guacamole. If I said cheese dip, it would have been too easy.
I was going to say,
y'all all
can
said
go,
cheese dip.
Yeah,
if I said
go,
nope.
Can I go
nope,
neither and go C?
Nope. If I had said cheese dip, everybody would have said cheese dip.
All right.
I'm going to go salsa only because I like guacamole, but I had to be in the right mood for guac.
Oh, man, I love guac.
So give me the salsa.
Give me the guac, especially if it's like, you know, table prepared guac where they prepare it right there, or just like when you know it's just been like recently prepared, not the stuff that's like coming out of a pouch or something that's been like there all day. Freshly made guac is the bee's knees.
Guacamole is God's gift to earth. I eat guacamole every day.
It is.
I know I have a hot take, but I just cannot do guac. It's the same. It's in the hummus category for me. It's the texture of it. The texture of the guacamole just makes me nauseous almost. So I'm full salsa, but I know that that's a hot take.
All right. Frozen margarita versus on the rocks.
On the rocks. Don't even have to think about it.
Charlie?
Frozen, it's too cold.
Yeah, frozen, you can't drink them fast enough. I need to be able
freeze to
drink things faster. So, yeah, on the rocks.
I also like on the rocks.
I do kind of like a frozen. Kind of gives you that
it's
slurpy,
nice.
I know the slurpy, icy vibes. But I see what you guys are saying. Both are great. Both are good. But to be different, I'll go frozen.
Nice.
With salt.
Not a huge margarita guy in general.
I see that.
Too sweet.
Okay, let's see. Give you a couple more here.
I love margaritas, man.
They are great. Okay, last one. I had a whole list right here.
What about...
Jump in if you got
trying
one.
To think, I'm trying to think of something on the fly.
Corona with a lime or Corona without?
You got to whiff.
You got to have lime. I mean, and then you got to do a little thumb thing, and you flip it up and down, you know?
No, you got to put salt first.
Brandon, veteran.
All right,
veteran
walk
move.
Us through it, B.
All right, you get your Corona.
He's right.
You squeeze in the lime.
Okay.
Then you insert the lime. Then a little salt. Then you put your thumb over. You tilt it over. But you got to be careful not to release the pressure too quickly or you'll get suds everywhere.
Uh-oh.
So you got to do it real slow-like.
Okay.
Then you get your perfect Corona.
Now, let me teach you how to upgrade your Cinco de Mayo and your Coronas with a lime. Instead of putting an actual lime in there, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get your Corona.
Lime juice.
You're going to drink 3 to 4 baby sips.
Okay.
And then you're going to ask for a shot of Bacardi lime. Pour it in your Corona. And there you have it, a loaded Corona. Delicious.
A shot in my Corona?
Yes, a shot of Bacardi Lime. Lime rum.
Immediate thoughts?
I don't know.
It is delicious.
Maybe. I tried it
Me and
once.
My uncle drank them on a cruise for 12 once. Straight hours.
All right, last one. Tamales versus enchiladas.
Enchiladas.
Oh, enchiladas. Enchiladas. Yeah, man.
I like a good tamale, man. If you actually know somebody who can make some good ones, they're very good. But enchiladas are also great. That's a tough one for me. I kind of sit in the middle, but I'll say tamales so I can be different.
Hey, great stuff right there from the one and only Chance Collins, getting you ready for a little Cinco de Mayo action today. Obviously talking about some of the best things tonight, but hey, I always love a good history lesson. I know you do as well. Go and teach somebody now that you know a little bit more. Final segment of the Blitz, next.
Hey folks, Russell Smith here for G.
All right, here we go, gentlemen. Final segment of the show here on the Blitz today. Boy, it has been a gimmick trifecta day. And I'm pretty sure we've hit, well, almost all of them. I guess our Star Wars was saved for yesterday. Nerds get 2 days, but they only got one day on our show. Revenge of the Fifth, Cinco de Mayo, and of course, Brandon Orick.
Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Hump Day!
By the way, in case you haven't forgotten, because I got to be honest, my dad just helped me out a little bit here. Mother's Day this Sunday. Put that into your calendar. Put it on the to-do list. Put it in the reminders. Do whatever you got to do. Don't forget coming up this Sunday, treat the mothers well. Maybe later on in the week, we'll get into some good Mother's Day gift ideas. Maybe some Mother's Day horror stories when it comes to trying to giving out gifts and things like that.
Can I count graduation as a gift?
No.
No. No. I don't think so. You're supposed, they got you to school. You're supposed to do that. That's what I was always told, at least.
Yeah, me too. You're right.
So, you know. Yeah. That one could be tough. But, hey, conversation for later in the week that you can look forward to. Guys, I think it's been a great day. I have checked off every single topic on my list today that we've had to get into. But that being said, we still got more to get into later this week, so there's going to be plenty of things. But what do you say? It's been a great day. What do you say we ended in a great way? A little bit of if you haven't heard.
See, we've got new pictures from House of the Dragon.
Really?
Yeah.
What do I need to? How do I find these? Just search Twitter?
Yeah. Just
okay.
Hashtag House of the Dragon.
All right, this is big. We talked about this last week. House, what do you think of that name? Do you like it?
House of the Dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think people are going to call it HOTD?
I mean, maybe.
Yes.
Whoa.
Or maybe.
Who is this guy?
Or maybe Hot D.
Hot D.
Wait, no, not Hot D. Not Hot D.
What?
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Let's just call it House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon. Who is this guy? He looks cool. You seen the picture? The sea snake.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
He looks like Idris Elba from Thor, like when he's Heimdall, but way older. So he's got very gray white dreads. This looks pretty cool. Okay. Good if you haven't heard. Good one. I had missed that. All right, who else?
If you haven't heard, John Mulaney. Who went to rehab, is out of rehab, and is now scheduling his first shows since leaving rehab.
Man.
It will be in New York. He's having a residency there at a comedy club for a couple weeks, and every show sold out almost immediately.
Wow. I definitely think that people are ready for him to get back. He has some of my absolute favorite Netflix stand-ups, so definitely looking forward to hearing about a positive recovery from that issue. If you haven't heard, Daniel Bryan, one WWE superstar, his contract with the WWE has reportedly expired. Wow. Massive news. We got a big free agent. Is he going to go back to the WWE? Is he going to go over to AEW? Could he go over to Japan? Could he go over to Mexico? A lot of fun questions in the wrestling world as Bryan Danielson could be back for the select few that care.
I can't remember if I said this yesterday on here or on Talk Sports. There was a girl.
Say it.
A girl made a TikTok about how she matched with Ben Affleck on a dating app. Quickly unmatched with him, thinking
that
it was obviously
on Talk
a fake.
I heard y'all.
Okay.
Yeah, this is new to me.
Quickly unmatched, thinking it was it's obviously fake. Ben Affleck isn't just on Tinder. And then Ben Affleck responds to her, sending her a video on her Instagram DMs. Hey, I'm Ben Affleck. Why'd you unmatch with me?
I don't think he's saying it the wrong way, but all I'm hearing is Affleck, like the Affleck duck.
Is that?
I don't think it's.
Am I saying it the wrong way?
I don't think it's the wrong way, but just
on
however.
On this beautiful Cinco de Mayo?
Oh my God. Ben Affleck?
Cinco de Mayo?
I don't know. It's just making me think of the duck.
Breaking story. Peloton recalls all treadmills. That's right. They recalled all treadmills.
All
CEO
of them?
John Foley apologized for not cooperating with the CPSC. Well, they're recalling them after reports of injuries and even one death. That's right.
How is the treadmill killing
death
a person?
By Peloton.
Yep.
No good.
There have been 18 reports of the touchscreen loosening, 6 reports of the touchscreen detaching slash falling from the tread, which is supposed to launch in the U.S. later this year. But yeah, they've had deaths, one death from the treadmill. So Peloton bikes, okay. Peloton treadmills will kill you.
Not good. Death by Peloton.
Major story that we missed, by the way, that is right down our alley. I don't know how we didn't bring this up. We haven't talked about the giant launch pad that attached to the Chinese rocket that is now going to fall back down to Earth. And can cause some very serious damage.
What?
Is anybody familiar with this story?
No one else is?
I'm not.
Not it.
Elaborate.
So China launched a rocket into space, but the launch pad did not detach.
What?
So it went up into space, too. And it weighs
several tons.
It's the size of a decent-sized building. And it is going to fall back to Earth sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And
what do we do? Do we shoot it down?
We can't shoot it. Space Force can't shoot it because then it'll just break up into pieces and disrupt the all the other satellites and stuff.
Chance, we need to get Steve Carell from Space Force on the line. He's going to figure it out.
So they can't shoot it.
Great show.
They're expecting it to break up as it enters the atmosphere.
What?
Into smaller pieces, but still like pieces that like the engines are going to stay together. For example,
doesn't this feel kind of like a Rock movie? Like, and Rock has to go
and
find
the
his
engines
own
weigh like,
and then he holds it with his own arms.
Yeah, and then Rock gets ejected out of the jet, and he's gonna
throws it.
Some of the pieces they still expect to land are several tons.
Right back into space.
They will be hitting the Earth at Mach speed,
like a medicine ball.
Well, where are they?
There is nowhere to tell where they will land. They could land anywhere. Between
here?
Like New York and New Zealand.
I feel like we'll shoot that damn thing down.
We
better shoot that damn thing
down.
So we'll shoot it down.
I
literally just
because
it's moving too fast to be able to project where it's actually going to land. And there are all these complications with shooting it down. So our entire strategy is fingers crossed it hits the ocean, which is like 75%.
We
got to
shoot that sucker down. I feel like that's a much better strategy than
we can't.
Than fingers crossed.
We shoot everything down.
If we shoot it down,
we shoot everything.
If we shoot it down, it knocks a bunch of satellites out of orbit and disrupts the entire
world. Are they Chinese satellites?
No, all the satellites are all in the same space. Like, the satellites don't just stay above
China. You said, no, I'm saying, like, are these property of the Chinese?
Like, who's got the access to these satellites?
No, I'm saying, like, the thing
it's time to
fall.
Get to the days, but Charlie. Sorry. Cinco de Mayo.
Well, fingers crossed it hits the ocean, everybody.
It's also National Astronaut Day.
Oh, wow.
Very perfect timing.
National Silence the Shame Day. Okay. National Totally Chipotle Day.
Woo.
National Skilled Trades Day.
Love it.
National Hoagie Day.
Okay.
National Interpreter Appreciation Day.
Okay.
National Cartoonist Day.
Very cool.
And National Bike to School Day.
How Chipotle Corner and Cinco de Mayo is their day?
Bring, bring.